Welcome to the What's Your Weird Story podcast.
Everyone has at least one good story.
And some of us have stories that are just to the left of normal.
We're interested in the ones that push the boundaries of what we can perceive.
Stories that defy explanations.
Stories with an air of mystery.
Stories we might not share.
For fear of being thought of differently.
But don't worry. We're all friends here. So, what's your weird story? Hello, Weirdsville. Hello, listeners. Thank you for joining us today on the What's Your Weird Story podcast. I am your host, Adam Beebe. With me, as always, is your other host, Barry Johnston. How's it going, Bear?
Very good, man. How are you? How you feeling?
Well, you know, springtime is beautiful, and the flowers are coming out, and the plants are budding and making all the new plants for the season. And spring is also my nemesis. Wow. I have the severe allergies. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I opened up my the windows earlier in the week to kind of air out the house on a day that wasn't supposed to have a high pollen count.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, I opened up the windows and aired out the winter smell. And I think some of the pollen drifted in. And I think it's been lingering around and giving me a little bit of itchy eyes and stuff. Even though it's the day when we're recording, it's a cool, rainy day, which I love, washing away all that pollen. But yeah, you know, I mean, I just, you know, this is part of my life. I've got to deal with it for a few months, and then I'm fine again. Yeah. So,
well, you sound good.
How about you?
You sound good.
Well, thanks, dude.
Yeah.
You know, I take over-the-counter medicine. I should, you know, maybe get shots, but I don't. Uh-huh. I used to have to do that when I was a kid, and it was no fun.
Yeah. Of course.
But yeah, man, how are you doing?
I'm good. You know, I took Benadryl once. I took children's Benadryl once, and I have a pretty odd story that goes along with that. I was over at my friend Joyce's house, which he's been on the podcast, Mr. Ryan Joyce.
Yeah.
The one and only Mr. Ryan Joyce. Yes. and Joyce has some animals, and I'm pretty allergic to cats and stuff, so.
Are you really?
Yeah, pretty bad, man. So it gives me a hard time breathing, you know, and makes my eyes itch and stuff. Yeah. So
I know all about the eye itch.
Yeah. So I take children's Benadryl thinking, oh, okay, well, since it's children's Benadryl, I'll double, triple, quadruple the dose and I'll just swig half the bottle, you know, right before bed. Great idea. So
yeah, it sounds legit, man. There's a logic. There's a certain logic to that.
Yeah, yeah.
As a grown ass man, you know, you would be able to handle a double of children's Benadryl,
right, or a quadruple. I don't know, but I drink half the bottle and I go to sleep, or I think I'm asleep. I'm sort of hovering in this odd dreamlike state, half awake, half asleep, and. The whole night, man, I kept just, it felt like somebody had their finger shoved up my ass and was tickling my prostate the entire night, dude. And I kept getting the cold shivers, you know, like, oh, you know, like after you get done, like taking a big poo, you know, that like, oh, you know, that, or that when you're done, you're done peeing, you know, that little like shake-gasm you get there, the pee-gasm. The whole night, dude, I was just coming unglued, and
was this a pleasant irritation?
No, it was not. It was it was annoying. All I wanted to do was go to sleep, man, and I freaking couldn't go to sleep. And I was just like, oh my god. So I don't know, man. Morning comes around, and Joyce. We get ready to go, and he looks at me, man. He's like, man, you don't look so good, man. And I looked at him and I said, the entire night I had someone, what I thought was, had their finger up my ass, tickling my prostate, dude. The whole night long. Like, I could not freaking shake it, dude. He started laughing so hard, man. And he to this day, dude, this was a few years ago, and to this day, that is one of the favorite, that's one of his favorite memories of me. Oh, so, wow. So I know allergy medicine, I guess. Inside and out.
Yeah, dude. That's almost a Kurt story, you know. Yeah. I'm not going to ask. I'm not going to inquire how exactly you know what the tickled prostate and
I'm just
and
assuming. Feels like. I'm stuff. Assuming.
I mean, I know you've had a very interesting life and experimented with, you know, when you're in a band, man, things happen while you're out there on the road. Happen. You know, it doesn't matter. So.
That's right. Things do happen.
So, yeah. So, anyway.
Yeah. Moving on.
Hey, Barry, we got a phone call.
Oh, yeah. Did you know that? Yeah.
They're on our hotline. We got our first phone call to the hotline, which was really exciting. It was Heather from California, and she left us this message. And we're actually going to play you the message because we have the ability, we have the technology to do that. But, so she called in to the Witcher Weird Story hotline, which is, for those out there listening, 513-909-9821. You can call that and leave us a message if you've got a story that you want to hear, or that you want to tell, rather, that we want to hear. And that's what Heather did, man. She called in, she left us this really nice message, and said that she had a story for us. And let's go ahead and let's play that.
Hi, guys. My name is Heather. I wanted to talk to you guys, first of all, Adam, Barry, occasionally Jeff, love the podcast. I wanted to talk to you about the house I grew up in called the Lindley House. Years of stories, and I would love to share them with you guys. So if you're interested, give me a call. I'm available almost anytime. look forward to hearing from you. Have a good one. Bye-bye.
The cool thing here is that she lives in Humboldt, California, which we, you know, we kind of glossed over a little bit. But Humboldt is a really interesting place, man. And it's cool to have a friend in Humboldt now. You know what I mean? It's one of those legendary places, at least when we were growing up, coming of age. Humboldt County was very well known, steeped in the marijuana culture, very much. This is back before we had internet, any of that stuff. Word of mouth traveled quickly, and everyone knew that was in the know that was the place that you wanted to go. Mm-hmm. You know, they were famous for the Humboldt County brownies was the big thing. You know, you always heard rumors about that. And I've been there, and it is a really fascinating place. The people are very cool, and it's like no other place that I'd ever been to, you know?
Yeah. Along with all of that notoriety, there was a lot of crime because it was illegal for so long in California, and the rest of the country for the weed. So there's some really interesting stories, documentaries, and stuff about that out there too. If you people are interested in that kind of a thing, it's worth worth checking out.
Yeah, it's an interesting, weird part of the world, so it's cool.
Yeah. You know, that's what we're trying to say.
Yeah. But anyway, she's great. She's a lot of fun. Heather's a lot of fun, and
Heather was. Yeah. Great interview.
Yeah. Fantastic.
And,
you know,
we are also fortunate to have Mr. Hubbard with us on that episode.
Yes.
During that interview, which is this episode. So
couldn't be here for the intro.
we do the intros and outros at a later date, but it all sounds seamlessly smooth put together because of the talented Mr. Johnston over here.
Oh, please, please.
It's a great interview, and you guys will love it. And Heather was a fantastic guest. And I guess we should just, you know, we'll get to it now that we've played the message, and you got a peek. She's piqued your curiosity to hear about this house. So let's go to it. Heather, what's your weird story?
Well, hey guys, thanks for having me, and I'm excited to share my weird story. Okay, so this is a it's a haunted house story. I'm going to tell the story. I'm going to tell the story of a house that's pretty famous in my friend group or anyone who grew up with me in Reseda, California. It's called the Lindley House. And, okay, so the house was built in 1948 as part of a housing boom in the San Fernando Valley post-World War II. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother bought the house when my mom was 2 years old, and they moved into the house brand new. Mm-hmm. And some of the improvements my grandmother made right away was they were offering free bricks from the old burnt San Fernando mission. And so she went and she gathered bucket loads of these bricks and built a fireplace and another brick wall area in the what we came to call the den. This will come up later. So the first experience I had with things being different in my house than other houses was as I was a little kid, my mom used to tell me I would sit in the den a lot and talk. And I would talk to what I called my bear. And my mom would never see it, but I would sit in there for hours and hours. And I would just talk and laugh and hang out with this creature that I called the bear. Wow. Now, Now, as I got older, and my sister is 3 years younger than me, we came to understand that our house had certain entities in it, and they were all rather specific, and there were rules to the house that we learned pretty quickly. One of the rules was there was a line of demarcation from where you walked into the door to you crossed to the other side of where the fireplace was. You were safe close to the door, but as soon as you crossed that line, all bets were off. All of these entities could not cross this line. They would roam around in the hallway. They would roam around in the den, and they would roam around in the kitchen, specifically the kitchen entity. So the kitchen entity, we never saw, but you knew if you turned your back on the kitchen, it would come right up behind you and chase you right out of the kitchen, and you could feel it.
Wow.
It was like an invisible bear. Well, it was like an invisible animal that was somewhat aggressive, even if it didn't touch us. If anyone turned their back on the kitchen or was caught alone in the kitchen, it would come up and stand right behind you, and you would start. People would start talking like there was somebody else in the room. And they would turn around and realize, oh, there's no, I'm just talking to nothing. There's a thing in the kitchen. Wow. And, you know, it was a very creepy thing. And anybody in our teenage years that came to visit us would know, okay, if you were caught unawares and alone in the kitchen, it was kind of a scary situation.
Don't go to Heather's house.
Yeah, don't go to the Lily. Just be aware there's rules about how things work. If you're in the kitchen, for example, my friend Tina, teenage years, she's in the kitchen by herself. We're all sitting in the living room, and suddenly she comes running out of the kitchen. Now, she hit the kitchen door running at a full-on run, and as soon as she reached up to turn off the kitchen light, the light goes off. Bam! And so whatever this was, I, for some reason, really had fun chasing people out of the kitchen. I'm not really sure why that is. So,
Do you think that... I think this entity maybe was the ghost of a dietitian who was trying to keep people from snacking late at night.
I didn't think about that.
That's what I'm thinking. See, you know, I'm thinking like, you know, this is really good to keep you from snacking too much. I would actually kind of like to have kitchen deity to keep me away from stacking too much.
Well, next time we go, we'll bring you with, and you can stand in the kitchen and see what happens. And you know, I don't know, you know, and it didn't work. We were teenagers, so
I can pass on the actually having one. I just think it would be a good idea.
Yeah, it was terrifying. You could market
that. I mean. You know.
I know. I don't know if I would want to share that with anyone else in firsthand experiences. But okay, so as I got older, my sister and I also understood that these entities would come out of the den and they would roam around in the hallway. And so in our childhood room, as my sister and I would sleep, we had a door that for some reason didn't have a doorknob on it. I don't know why. And you would wake up in the middle of the night and you would realize, okay, I know there's something standing outside this doorway right now. And you would hesitate to open your eyes and look right at the space where the doorknob was. And you would know it was covered up and you couldn't see anything, and you would know, okay, the thing is standing outside the doorway. I don't know what it is. As long as we are in this room, we're safe, because for some reason, these entities, for lack of a better term, they could not go in the bathroom. They could not go in the master bedroom, and they couldn't go in the kids' bedroom. Wow. And so they would hang out in the hallway a lot.
I think that's very fortunate, though, because, I mean, being terrorized in your bedroom would be just the worst.
Privacy,
you know. So in the bathroom, you got to take care of your business in private, you know. Yeah. I mean, it's bad enough if you got cats or children trying to get in, but, you know, you can't see a ghost trying to peep in on you.
Right, unless it's a ghost cat, and all bets are off in that scenario.
Did your grandmother did she notice this right away? Like, is that something that when she moved in, like, they were apparent right away?
Well, in retrospect, you know, in later years, as we started talking about the things that went on at the Lindley House, my mom started telling stories and came out with, yes, these things, my mom believes, she believes they come out of the closet in the den. Mm. And that was where she believes they all originated from. Oh. Because she told me a story. Well, two stories. One, when I was little and my dad was in the kitchen cooking some food, and he thought my mom walked in the kitchen, and he's talking to her with his back to the kitchen, cooking on the stove. And he was talking to her for 5 minutes before he turned around and realized there was no one in there. And the second story she told me was when she was a teenager and she was home from school with the flu.
I like the air quotes.
Air quotes, flu. And she was sleeping in the kids' bedroom, which in later years was my sister's bedroom. Now, there was four generations of us that grew up in this house. Wow. My grandmother, her two children, my mom and my aunt, and then my mom and her two children, me and my sister, and then me and my daughter all lived in the same house.
Hmm. Wow.
So when she was a teenager and she was laying in the same room that we saw the thing standing in front of the door, she wakes up from a sleep and she opens her eyes and she looks at the door and there's a man standing there. And he is dressed in a rough monk costume. And she's looking at him and he's looking at her. And she realizes right away, this is not an actual person. And she didn't feel scared, she said, but he was as solid as anyone. Wow. And she looked at him and he looked at her and they looked at each other for a long time. And then he turned and he walked back down the hallway. And that was it.
Wow.
So, you know, as me and my sister were experiencing these things and talking about it amongst ourselves, in later years, we come to realize that my mom had been experiencing these exact same thing.
So it wasn't something that your mother was talking to you about and sort of leading you guys into thinking that those things are around. You actually found out for yourselves that that was the case. Wow.
Yes. Because she didn't want to say, I mean, you know, you don't want to say to little kids, well, I think there's some kind of weird portal in the den.
Right.
And there's a monster in the kitchen and things walk around in the hallway.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Right. Sweet dreams. You know? Don't let the bed bugs bite. At all.
Go to the now, because I'm not going to help you in the hallway in the middle of the night.
Exactly. So, you know, in our teenage years, whenever we were left alone in the house, my parents had ended up putting a mirror on the wall in the hallway. And the magic thing about this mirror was when you were sitting in the living room in the safe area, whenever the parents weren't home, if you heard anything weird in the hallway, you could turn and look over your shoulder and you could look at the mirror, and the mirror would be able to see around the corner. So you could see if there's anything standing there. And so it was kind of like a tool we used just in case and all that. Wow. So my parents had taken my sister and everybody was gone and they went somewhere. And I'm sitting in the living room across the safety line towards the front door, and I hear the den door opening, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I heard it loud and clear, so I'm going to turn around, and I'm going to look, and I'm going to see whatever I see. So I turn around and I look into the hallway and I go to look in the mirror and I realize I cannot see the mirror at all. There is a shape standing in the doorway that was very tall, almost as tall as the doorway. I could see shoulders. I could see nothing behind it at all. I couldn't see the mirror. It wasn't like opaque or a shadow or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I was stunned because, you know, in later years, as you become a teenager, you stop actually seeing things. Like, you would hear things and you would see things out of the corner of your eye. You would feel things. But, you know, it had been, I hadn't seen anything that solid. And, you know, in time, I was probably looking at it for maybe, 5 seconds, which in reality is a really long time to be staring at a thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm staring at it, and I have the feeling it's staring at me. And at some point, my body comes back into itself, and I stand up. And at that moment, it turns, and I watch. I could see its shoulders turn, and I could see its arm move, and I could see it take a step out of the doorway and around into the hallway. Well, I freak out. I completely.
Yeah, I'm getting a chill.
Yeah,
just hearing that.
You know, I come to my senses and I fling open the front door and I run down the street to my friend's house, and I am saying, there is a thing in my house. I stared right at it. Her big brother says, come on, we're going to all go check it out. So we follow him, Mr. Tough Guy, back to the house. He goes through the house. There's nobody there, nobody there. I'm trying to explain. I know this wasn't a person, but I know that I was looking at an entity, a creature, a multidimensional being. I have no idea, really. You know, I could easily use the word ghost, but I'm a critical thinker, and so it's hard for me to label these things or experiences as a known thing. I know I saw something, but I have no idea what it is, really.
Yeah.
And he found nothing in the house, nothing amiss, and so, I didn't see it again that night, and can't really explain it, but, you know, as time has gone by and after I thought about it, it made me wonder if this was the thing that I called the bear. And because it didn't feel malicious to me, it really felt like it was looking at me. And, you know, in retrospect, as I've gotten older, I thought, was this looking at me thinking, this is the girl? that I used to talk to. I've gotten older. Does she recognize me? Because it didn't feel dangerous. It just felt shocking to realize I'm looking at a thing right in front of my eyes, you know?
So this thing, it didn't have a discernible shape other than like the shoulders and, you know, a humanoid kind of feature, or did, like, you didn't see any kind of face or anything like that?
Right? Yeah, no face, but it had definite, you know, if you count one Mississippi, two Mississippi, up to five, that's kind of a long time.
I was doing it while you were telling your story.
Yeah. Because a lot of people say, I was looking at it for like 5 minutes, but that is an eternity.
Right, know? Right.
I was looking. Well, the first thing that struck me was that I could not see the mirror, which was what I was expecting to see. Mm-hmm. And so, no features whatsoever, no clothing. It was, I want to describe it as like a dark, it wasn't black, but it was blacker, darker than gray, very solid shoulders. And I didn't see the hands or arms until it turned to move and it kind of swung what I would think of as an arm. Right. And that was when I saw, yes, it had arms and it actually just walked around the corner. And not in a quick way, just walked away.
Wow.
Like, I scared her. Whoops.
It sounds like a shadow person, except for the fact that you said that you didn't feel any kind of negativity from it at all.
No, not at all.
That's the main difference there, I think.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's, and you know, thinking about it over the years, you know, a lot of people have asked me, was it the Hat Man, or you know, I'm interested in these subjects because I grew up in this house,
right?
And you know, yeah, I didn't feel like it was anything like that, which made me wonder if as a little kid I might think of it as a bear. And I could see that it was a big kind of fuzzy gray shaped thing. Mm-hmm. And
do you remember those times being with the bear or around that? Do you remember that, or is it something that you're too little to remember and that your mom told you about, that kind of a thing?
I'm too little to remember, okay. But it started coming up when we started talking about things that happened in this house. And my mom said, well, I will tell you when you were little that this has happened. And so she didn't tell me until after I saw this thing. Wow. And, you know, I think it was maybe her way of saying, well, actually, I could see where maybe this was, you know, your bear, or this thing that you called a bear for some reason. I don't remember it at all firsthand, the bear when I was little. No.
There's an interesting kind of side note to this that I wanted to throw out, because you called it the bear, that there have been a few times where kids have gotten lost, like in the forest. And this even happened just last year, not that long ago.
It did.
And they survived, and when people ask them how they survived, they say, and Jeff, you probably know about this too.
This is a great point.
But they say that they had a bear friend. A bear helped them out. A bear brought them food. A bear protected them. All of this stuff, you know, which is not what bears do, you know. But like,
no, it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's just so weird to me that, you know, that there's that connection. And of course, obviously, a lot of people speculate that, you know, I doubt you had a Bigfoot in your den that you were playing with that was invisible, that only you could see. One can only hope that you did, yes.
Be like, I know the answer.
Right.
But that is just interesting.
It is, because to be honest, when I heard, I know exactly what story you're talking about. And when it happened, that was the first thing that crossed my mind, and it made kind of the hair on the back of my neck stand up. And I was thinking, ooh, yeah, actually, that's weird. That's weird.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Hub, what is, do you know the, various Native American ideas on bears or the symbology, whatever you want to call it, that surrounds bears?
No, I really don't know much about that. Mm-hmm. I really don't. You know, I wish I could comment on that, but I don't have any idea.
I mean, it's as with all things in nature, you know, and this is painting a very broad.
Let's you know, paint with broad strokes, dude. Who cares?
To answer that question it is part of nature, and it is part they respect. In general, the Native Americans were, you know, respected the animals and the earth and everything. And a bear was, you know, one of those things that was a symbol of strength and was a, you know, kind of like often a, you know, you would want to be associated with a bear mm-hmm. as for being something strong. And you know, and not just in Native Americans, but, you know, all around the world, bears are they're one of the largest land mammals, you know, especially in the northern hemisphere. So they are symbols of strength and vitality and toughness and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah. But we have teddy bears, which is relatively new. But we have teddy bears, which are all cuddly and soft. But
part of that is they are seen as powerful protectors. They're generally seen as symbols of mothering mm. and protection mm-hmm. and that kind of thing.
Right.
And so it makes a lot of sense to me that they're often associated with children, mm-hmm. protecting of children, comforting of children. Stephen King uses one as a protector of one of the gates in his book, which I find really very, very interesting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they cool. seem to be a protector of children or some sort of a power, honor, protector mm-hmm. of some sort. So
yeah.
I can see that. I have reached out to the local Native communities in the San Fernando Valley. And, you know, because they were colonized so early on, they lost really a lot of mm-hmm. their own mythology. So, you know,
yeah.
I'm curious about what their views are about what's happening in this house specifically.
Sure.
I wonder what made your mother decide that it was a bear. You described it.
I decided it was a bear. I called
you decided
the
bear. Wow. Okay. Okay.
To be like, oh, it's my, like, she would say, who are you talking to? Like, who are you talking to, you weird little kid? And I would say, I would say, well, it's my bear. I'm talking to my bear.
Oh, yeah. Man.
So, hey, I had a question I wanted to ask. You know, the figure was blocking the mirror. When you went to look at the mirror to see if there was anything there, you couldn't see the mirror. When the figure turned and went around the corner, is that when you ran, or were you able to actually put the mirror to test and see, could you actually see the figure in the mirror as he or it
that is an went amazing down the hall? Question. And I'm trying to think of right now, because what happened is I stood up, like, once I realized that I was seeing with my eyeballs a crazy thing that I could not explain, I stood up, and it was like at that point, I in retrospect, I feel like it knew I was scared. Like, I couldn't be, at that point, I panicked, I think. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I did not look into the mirror after that. As soon as it moved, I was out the door. I didn't even shut the door. I opened the door and I ran out. I completely lost my cool.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah.
I totally understand.
Yeah, I fled. I definitely fled. And in years after that, actually, I felt bad in certain ways, thinking like, oh, I'm sorry. You know, it was like, almost like Puff the Magic Dragon or Peter Pan, you know, like I grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And man, instead of being okay with it, it scared me. And I feel like, you know, I feel bad that it felt bad something.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, I remember this, and this is nothing to do with anything. It's just I thought of it real quick. But when I was a little kid, I wanted really, really badly to have an imaginary friend, but like none of them stayed around. I tried several, and they all just kind of wandered off.
That's really sad.
I don't mean to bring anybody down. I wanted really badly to have one. And I had a vivid imagination, but maybe I had, I don't know, maybe I had too much or, you know, I don't know. I do remember one of them was an eagle. And it did one time sit next to me at school while we're watching films. But
that's amazing. And I would love to hear more about that.
About it, really. On pretty quickly, I guess, you know.
Was that one of the films that we would we would watch films at school, and they played them off a reel. Yeah. And we'd watch one, and then they would say, you guys can watch another film, or you can watch this film in reverse. What would you like to do? And we would all say, in reverse!
Obviously. Yeah, we'd watch them
And we would laugh. It was so
great. Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
How do I not remember that? I don't remember
you
that.
You don't remember that? You were probably, Barry, it was first grade. You were probably kissing Carrie.
Probably, yeah. That's correct. Probably so.
So
the Casanova in the group?
Oh, yeah.
I also wondered, you know, I'm sure that you talked, well, you stated that you talked to your mother about after you had seen this figure, and that's when I think she told you that she had also seen a figure in the house. Were there any similarities in the two things that you guys had seen?
Well, the biggest similarity is they all seem to go by the same rules of places they could be, meaning the den and the hallway. And I'm not sure why that is, but every entity seemed to follow the same rule that you couldn't go in. They couldn't go into the bedrooms, but they could go in the den and the hallway. So, for example, with my imaginary friend, I never played with him in my childhood bedroom. I never hung out with him in my childhood bedroom. Anytime I wanted to hang around with the bear, it was in the room that was called the den, which is a room between the hallway and the kitchen on one side, and the den was in the middle. The kitchen was on the one side, and the hallway was on the other.
Wow!
And the imaginary friend, this bear, never ever came in the room or in the living room with me or anything like that.
Wow!
Always in the den.
Did your grandmother have experiences? Do you know?
You know, I think she did, but she doesn't. My grandmother is 96.
Wow.
So she's Italian, Sicilian, and she doesn't like to talk about things like that.
Right. So she just doesn't.
She just doesn't. Yeah. So
that's intense. I mean, that leads me to believe there's some sort of barrier, you know what I mean? Like some sort of.
Oh, definitely.
To me, it seems that there's something to do with those bricks that were brought in from the mission.
Could be.
That seems to me to be a key element in this, but I don't know. Hey, everybody. You're listening to the What's Your Weird Story podcast. You probably knew that already because you're listening or downloaded to the episode off of your iTunes or your Spotify or whatever place you get your podcast from. We want to thank you for listening. We also want to remind you to like us, follow us, subscribe to us. Make sure that you get your new podcast episode every week. We'd also like to ask you to rate and review so that we can grow our audience and we can have more friends. We can have more stories. So thanks for listening to What's Your Weird Story.
It's also weird that you've seen that your mother saw the monk. You know what I mean? Like, and never been seen since. Is that right?
Just, oh no, he was seen again.
Oh,
yeah.
He was. Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the second sighting of the monk, and I love it that I get to tell this story with people who have never been to this house because I know you guys will be able to ask me questions.
Yeah.
And notice things that I may have missed. So
cool.
I love that.
Yeah.
So as a teenager, now my mother moved out of the house very early. And so I was 14 and my sister was 12, when we were living in a house with basically without parents. It really was like, you know, the island of lost boys or some such thing like that. So we at any given time had tons of other lost children in the house, just pretty much constantly. And so one day it was broad daylight and my sister and I and a bunch of our friends were all in one of the back rooms, and the younger brother of another friend, his name was Chris, was sitting in the living room playing his guitar, just kind of by himself, twiddling around, and all of a sudden he realizes there is another person in the room. And he looks up from his guitar, and sitting across from him is a old man, monk-looking guy. And he's looking at him and he's thinking, you know, he said, I, you know, okay, there's an old man in the house, and he realizes he's making this weird smiley face. And he was kind of caught in this staring at this man and realizing he felt overwhelming fear. And so he gets up and he runs into the back room. Now he's white as a sheet and he is saying, I just saw the craziest thing. There's this man out there. He's making a crazy face. You know, we went out there and the man was gone. And Chris was absolutely adamant that he saw this monk looking man that was making a weird face. Now, when my mom experienced him, you know, she did not feel scared. Chris, on the other hand, felt absolutely terrified. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, for a teenage boy in a room full of other teenagers to admit terror is kind of a thing. In my mind, mm-hmm. you know, where you would be like, yeah, I saw this guy. It was kind of scary. And, you know, not really, though. But but he was absolutely terrified. He did not want to go. He didn't want to be alone. That's how terrified he was, you know, in the house ever again. So, yes, the monk man has been seen by other people. He was also seen by my daughter when she was probably 3 years old. We were in the, you know, her bedroom, which was my bedroom when I was a little kid, which was my mom's bedroom when she saw him. And one night I wake up, it's the middle of the night, and she's sitting awake on the bed and she's staring right at the door and she's saying, hi, man. And I'm looking at her and I'm looking at the door and I don't see anything. And she's looking right at the door saying, hi, man. And I'm going, what man? Wow. What do you mean?
Yeah.
And she was basically saying, you know, there's a man right there. Wow. So, man. and staring right at the doorway. So clearly this man that she's seeing, couldn't enter the doorway. He wasn't in the room. He was standing right at the doorway. So, he has been seen by other people.
I would say your family is full of sensitives, you know, people that are very open to, you know, those types of things, you know, that's,
we are.
That's incredible.
Yeah, also, definitely. It sounds like you're, something there at the house is just like, there's obviously many presences being making themselves known of some. Do you know anything about the land before 1948 when it was?
No, I don't. I know that, you know, in time immemorial, it was a flood basin. Mm-hmm. I know that. Mm-hmm. I know that there were many indigenous people all around there. I mean, it was pretty crowded with tribal peoples right. in those days. They didn't tend to live in the middle of the floodplain. They lived generally in the foothills and that sort of thing. We're also two blocks from the LA River, which is, you know, it used to be an actual natural river, which the, you know, the water wars is kind of famous down there. They paved it over. So we know that it had a great deal of flooding back in the day. My mom remembers before they built the LA River, people riding in boats, you know, down the street, Lindley, that we lived on. So, and incidentally, not that long ago, a certain ghost hunting TV show did a piece about another house in Reseda specifically, and they found a lot of really weird electromagnetic anomalies. You know, I don't know how I feel about that sort of thing, but they did say it was a very terrifying house. And what went through my mind is like, actually, I could see that.
Well, you know, and the and they say the you know that water you know allows spirits to sort of be transient and keep things around. So if you're that close to a body of water, you know that that kind of makes some sense, you know.
And I know that there is, in fact, a huge aquifer underneath the entirety of the San Fernando Valley, which is very, very big. And so it's crossed my mind whether that has something to do with it. What was, what was there before? How was it before? Were indigenous peoples not really into living there because of this, because it was this way? Was it kind of a special place? So, you know, I know that nobody lived there, that, you know, people have asked me, were there any violent acts or things that happened in the house before we lived there? But, you know, nobody lived there before my family lived there.
Yeah, because so, like you're saying, this is post-war, World War II. That part of the California was not populated in that way, right? I mean, it was a big housing boom. So these are brand new, brand new houses out. And I can picture it in my mind. I see, you know, like every movie of the 1950s with the, you know, everybody had cookie cutter houses that were, you know, everything's a perfect little, you know, piece of property. And that's fascinating.
It was a cute little spot.
That's cool. That's
cool. Cute little spot of terror. I know.
But it's you know, it's funny because anybody, any of these kids, anybody who ever spent any time in the Lindley House at all, and if I don't see them for a long time, or if, you know, if anybody asks them about, so what's the Lindley House like? It's the first thing they will say that sometimes it was scary, really scary, because
are you still there
in the house? I'm not, but I do have a recent story which is kind of the impetus for calling you guys, because in 90
we keep getting distracted by asking questions and I know you got a ton of stories, but it's just like I don't know, we've got a good flow.
Excellent. And you know, I hope this is cool for the listeners, and I love it. I love that you guys are asking questions. It's fantastic. So in 1994 I moved away. I moved to Humboldt. And I know
they
were
renting. I just have to say this, Humboldt County brownies, right? I mean,
you got to watch out.
All I know is those brownies, Barry. All I know of those brownies are from is from Laverne and Shirley. So that's all I personally know. Maybe.
Beautiful. That's a whole different podcast. Know, that's awesome.
You know anything about those kind of just brownies?
I do. You got to learn pretty quickly once you move up here.
Oh, I bet you do there. So I'll ask Mr. Hubbard if he knew anything about that. Yeah. You can probably not go on record for anything. Yes.
Definitely
watch Laverne and Shirley with me. That's really his exposure to anything.
Oh, hey, Lenny and Squiggy, they've made some of the best music out there. So
fantastic.
Also a different podcast, but Okay, so I moved away in 94, and, you know, it was because of an event, not at the house, but, you know, I hadn't been back for a really long time. And due to reasons, we, my mom and I realized that, okay, we were going to head back. Okay, so before that, wait, I got to go back. Sorry, listeners. Okay, so... we had dealings with family down there. And so during this process, I had a dream. And in my dream, I'm standing in the master bedroom. And it was a dream that took maybe 2 seconds to have the whole dream. So what I'm telling you is my thoughts during that process, not the time of the dream. Okay. So the dream starts and I'm standing right just inside the threshold of the master bedroom, which would have been normally a very safe space. And in my mind, I realize in my dream that something had gotten in through an open window in the back children's bedroom. And I turned to look into the doorway, into the hallway, and standing there is a man. Now, this is a man I've never seen before in the house. And he was sort of leaning back on his heels, and he was very tall. And the light reflected from the windows through the master bedroom was shining on his pants. And his arms were hanging low, and I couldn't really see his face, but I could see light shining or reflecting either on his eyes or his glasses. And I felt immediate danger. Every part of me in this dream was scared out of my mind. So my dream plan was to slam the door shut and to fling the bed toward the door to maybe tangle him up or something. Mm-hmm. And I was going to leap out the side window. This was my plan. And I woke up. And now I'm not a chicken person, generally speaking. I don't easily scare, really. But I could not stop staring at my bedroom doorway to the point I was so scared where I had to wake up. I turned on every light in the house. I made myself a cup of coffee because I knew I was not going to go back to sleep. I mean, it scared me. It scared me so bad. It scared me really bad. Wow. And yeah, one of the things that struck me was in my dream for that 1 second, I knew I was not safe inside this master bedroom, where normally if I knew the thing was in the hallway, I would be fine. As long as it was like, you know, it's like, I think of it as like, you know, the old, headless horseman situation. Oh, if you make it across the bridge, everything's cool. Yep. It was like that. And I knew suddenly I was not safe, that he could in fact follow me across the bridge, this thing. And that in my dream, he came in through the children's bedroom, that it was foreign to the house. And I knew if he could walk through the children's bedroom, not safe. This thing was totally different. Mm-hmm. So a few days later, my mom tells me, I had this dream. And so in my dream, this is my mom telling me, I was standing in the master bedroom. And I turn around and I'm looking in the hallway and I see a man. And as soon as I see him, he reaches out with his arms and hits me as hard as he can in the chest and pushes me across the room. So he actually reaches out and hits my mom in the chest. Yep. And then she wakes up. So we realize, okay, we're both having this dream in exactly the same way about this exact same dude who can, in fact, physically reach across this threshold that was normally safe and touch us in not a fun way at all.
Yeah. Wow. Man, that's
terrifying.
Even telling it now, it's like I feel the hair on my arms, like, ah!
Wow.
It was awful. This dream scared me, I'm going to say, more than any other dream in my life. I mean, it was genuinely terrifying.
That's one of the more fascinating things when people share dreams like that. It's just so bizarre. Like, out of everything you can pull out of the ether to dream about, you guys dream the same thing. It's so weird. And I've heard those stories before. It's just bizarre.
I mean, I wish it was like, oh, I dreamt we both found $1,000. Isn't that neat? Or something fun like that. Yeah, or went to an ice cream party. Right. You know? Yeah. Any other thing. Yeah. I dreamt I'd know the lottery numbers would be cool.
No kidding.
Oh, man.
Hey, that's a nice t-shirt you got on there.
Oh, thanks, dude. It's brand new. Do you like that? It's one of the official What's Your Weird Story t-shirts.
Where'd you get that?
It's funny that you ask. I just got it off the brand new Spreadshirt.com site for the What's Your Weird Story podcast. There's no www. You just go straight to shop.spreadshirt.com/ what's without the apostrophe, WHATS hyphen YEO. /weird-story, and that'll take you right there.
I mean, you can never own enough clothing.
Well, it's true, Barry. There's t-shirts for the ladies, because, you know, they're cut differently. There's hoodies, which are really cool. There's two different kinds of hoodies, and there's also tote bags, so you can tote your stuff.
That's so cool, man.
So if you guys go out to spreadshirt.com, What's Your Weird Story, currently there are two designs, but there will be more going up very soon. So just keep your eyes out for that, and if you decide to get one of our shirts, tag yourself on Instagram to ours or Facebook. Show your love. Show us what you got. Let's see your true colors.
So, in this last month, we needed to go down south because we were both brought down south. And as it turned out, my sister couldn't go. So it was my mom and I went down south. And while we were there, it was daytime. So we thought, you know, let's go check out the Lindley House. So the irony was not lost on us that, as it turned out by circumstance, that it was my mom and me together going into the Lindley House and walking into the Lindley House for the first time in 20 something years. So, so we go to the Lindley House. I've got a camera with me, my crappy Samsung, phone camera. And we walk in the door and, you know, there's no electricity or anything like that, but it's daylight, so we could see a little bit. And one of the things that's striking to us is, like, how clean it feels. How, you know, we didn't feel any entities in the kitchen or, you know, there was normally a feeling about the house where you knew kind of you weren't alone, but we really felt none of these things that we would normally expect to feel. And so my mom remarked, like, yeah, it feels, actually, I don't feel any of the things that I normally would feel in here. It feels very clean, very calm. Mm. We were going, I was filming into the kitchen, and now I'm standing toward the door in the safe, on this side of the safety line. And so my mom heads into the hallway and I'm following after her. And as soon as I step across the line, I start to see streaks of light. And I'm going to say maybe 50 to 30 streaks of light at a time. And I'm seeing them with my eyeballs and I'm holding my phone in my hand because I'm trying to take video. And I realize the video is basically black because there's no light in the house and the phone is terrible. So I turn off the phone and I decide I'm going to start taking pictures. And I'm looking at these streaks of light. Now, they're streaking from the bottom. They're going down to up, and they're kind of at a diagonal, and they're very fast. And it looks like, I don't know if you've ever been in a plane when it's raining at night, or, you know, you've been in a rainstorm at night and the car lights flash on it. It's like a streak of light like that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm thinking to myself, okay, don't freak out. am I having a stroke? Am I smelling toast?
Right.
Do I?
Yeah. That was a concern of me, that of mine, that I was.
Yeah. I'm thinking, am I having a low blood sugar? Like, are my fingers tingling? You know, what am I looking at right now? And then I was thinking, okay, so no one's been in this house for a while. Did I swish up dust? So how are these things moving? Are they moving like dust motes? Are they, you know, because they don't look like orbs at all, you know, with the floating kind of circles like that. They are, you know, streaking really fast from bottom up in a diagonal manner. And I'm thinking, you know, okay, so a dust mote or many dust motes, what are they reflecting on? And then I was thinking, well, you know, they would be moving kind of erratically. They would be caught in sort of an eddy that you would see, you know, you would see some of them go up and around or swooshing here or swooshing there. And I'm thinking, I'm seeing none of these things. They're moving very fast and up, 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 psh, 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 like that. And so I say to my mom, Mom, I'm seeing these lights. I don't know what I'm looking at right now. I'm going to try to capture them on my camera. So I'm holding out my camera in front of my face, and I just start taking picture after picture. And I head into the hallway, and I'm seeing them, and they're kind of all around me. Hmm. I'm going to say 30 to 50 at any given time.
Wow.
Huh. And I'm seeing them with my naked eyeballs, you know, I'm not seeing them on the camera. I'm not actually even looking at the camera as I'm taking pictures. I'm just seeing them with my face, which is kind of amazing because normally you don't see these kinds of things until you take a picture. Then you're like, ooh, there's an orb, but it wasn't like that at all.
Right.
And so I'm hoping to catch one or to catch something on this, and I'm not feeling anything. I don't feel scared or I'm just fascinated and thinking, what am I looking at? So I head into the hallway and I turn into the den and I'm taking pictures and I'm thinking, gosh, I'm seeing these things. They're just everywhere. And so I'm taking pictures and I turn around and I head down the hallway in another direction. And, I'm taking pictures, walk down the hallway. I head into the child, or the bedroom we were in when we were kids. And I am not seeing a single one in this room, which was really quite odd. Mm-hmm. And so I turn around, I take a picture of the window that this dream guy came in, you know, just in case. And so I head out of that room and I turn around and I'm taking pictures toward the master bedroom and I'm seeing them with my eyes still. And I say, Mom, are you come and stand where I'm standing and tell me if you're seeing these things. And so she is not seeing them. And so I walk into the master bedroom and she walks in behind me. And I'm taking pictures and I'm saying, it feels really fine in here. And then suddenly we both feel it goes from everything's fine and I'm seeing these neat things to we are in absolute danger. You could feel a thing standing next to us in this room that was filled. It felt like danger. It felt like pure absolute danger. And my mom was like, you could see her whole body straighten up. And the last picture on the reel I took, which I will share, is me swooping around with the phone to turn and look at my mom. And we locked eyes and realized we need to get out of this house and we need to get out of this house right now. Now, my mom is 70 something years old and I have not seen her move this fast in ever.
Wow.
We could not get out of this house fast enough. It was terrifying.
Wow.
It was absolutely terrifying. We hit that door, locked up the keys, locked it up. She tossed me the keys. I got in the driver's side of the rental car we were driving. She hopped in the passenger side, and even before the door was shut, she was yelling, go, go, go. Like,
wow.
It was the impression that this thing was going to come home with us, that this thing could, in fact, follow us out of this house.
Wow.
It was shockingly terrifying. And it's really interesting in retrospect that it happened when we were both standing in the exact spot right. that we were standing in when we had the dream, yeah, both of right, us. Right, and it was right. my mom and I together. Wow. Yeah.
That's
so you had okay. So you had the keys to the house,
yeah.
And it was okay. You didn't just walk into the house now that somebody else lived there or something like that. You had access.
No. Yes. It has.
Okay. We so I was curious about that.
We still own the house. We okay, still own okay. the house. Mm. Yep.
Wow, man.
What time of day was it that you guys went in?
Oh gosh, it was probably maybe 3:30. Ish.
So daylight.
Daylight. Yeah. Oh yeah. Daylight.
That's yeah. intense,
yeah. Daylight.
So do you think this thing was like putting on a show and then or what?
I mean in retrospect, I was wondering if I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know if it was waiting to get us in that room, mm-hmm. whether it realized that someone was in there. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, there hasn't been anybody in there. After I left, it did have renters mm-hmm. who I would love to someday talk
no
to.
No kidding, man. Wouldn't that be great? Sure.
Be like, so, how did it go?
Yeah.
Any bears?
Yeah, any bears, any terrifying man in the hallway. Because this man behaves differently than any other thing that I had ever grown up with. This man was not in this house when I was in this house.
Wow.
At all.
So there's
a new thing. Wonder if there was some kind of, and I'm speculating here, but I wonder if one of the renters, like, had tried to, they experienced something, you know, there. So they tried to tap into, you know, it, and maybe they tried to do a seance or use a Ouija board or something.
Yeah.
And inevitably attracted. Opened up a, mm-hmm. you know, a bad thing in mm-hmm. or something yeah. like that.
Mm-hmm. I do not know. Yeah. Whether they in some way invited this thing right. in, or whether this thing was roaming around the neighborhood for whatever reason, and it was an empty house, and so he climbed in as like ooh, this is not only an empty house but a portal area. Mm-hmm. I can live here mm-hmm. and have energy, or something like that.
Yeah.
I will tell you there has been over the years Ouija boards done in this house. My mom did it.
Wow.
When she was young and did get information.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Talked with an entity. Yeah. She talked with an entity who said he was the guy, the monk guy, that he was an entity that was there. He gave his name, which I don't know. I don't recall off the top of my head. I could find out though. And what year he was born or what year he lived in the area. Wow. So she does have information like that, you know, and us as teenagers did the Ouija board, obviously. I mean,
did you get any feedback on that? Did you get any?
Yeah, there was often the Ouija board sessions were very active. Hmm. Very, very, very active.
Yeah.
Wow, yeah. Man.
That's did you ever play Bloody Mary?
No way.
That's the wrong house to play Bloody Mary.
I love the fact. Sure. People are like, yeah, yeah.
No board. Way.
Bloody Mary? No way.
Wow. Maybe at your house.
No way.
Not at the Bloody Mary. No, not a chance.
Always waiting to check in.
That. And maybe, you know, somebody did something like that, played a weird game. I, you know, honestly, you know, which is great having other people to ask me questions, because this is really a new thing. This is definitely something different.
Yeah. How long ago was that? How long ago?
This was about a week and a half or just before I called you guys.
Wow.
So that's just crazy.
I'm telling it now. It's like, oh. It takes my breath away. It was so scary.
Wow.
So scary. And I'm a very brave person. You know, I don't, you know, I believe in weird things, but, you know, I'm not, I don't want to use the word hysterical being a woman and all, but, I'm not, hysterical. I want to, my inclination is to say, what is this? Mm-hmm. You know, how could this scientifically even really be possible? Because, you know, we're babies in the scientific realm.
Right.
There's so much we don't know.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we can apply it to a biblical idea or a you know, I don't know, a new science idea, but there's really, we don't really know. We really don't know. But clearly there's things that are happening
Right.
So however you want to look at that, you know, and this entity was definitely the feeling I felt there. I have never felt before. I've never felt, it felt like somebody pulled a gun or you're about to be stabbed, or it was like definite physical danger. Physical danger.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is so weird.
Yeah, it was terrible.
Yeah, and for both of you to feel it at the exact same time.
Oh my God. You know,
I mean, there's definitely something going on.
We were like, oh, we're fine, we're fine. And then suddenly, not fine.
Yeah.
Not fine at all.
Did your sister have any stories? And did she have any encounters on her own? Did she have a bear? You were saying?
She didn't have a bear, but my sister is very, you know, we were like a team in our growing up, and she was very, I want to say, her own psyche. She was very light. She doesn't really like to delve into that kind of thing that much because, you know, it's kind of scary a little bit.
Right.
So I'm the older sister, so I'm kind of like, I'll delve.
Yeah.
I'll totally delve.
Yeah.
Let's get to the bottom of this.
Well, it's great. So, it's great that that's your attitude, because otherwise, you know, the information would be sort of left out there, you know, and we wouldn't have such a fascinating set of stories, you know.
Oh, awesome. I'm glad it's fascinating for other
people. Oh, no, these are fantastic. I forget sometimes,
like, yeah, this is my life.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's a good point that you just made, is like, a lot of our listeners out there are like, oh, I don't have any good stories, but, you know, they don't have to be hauntings, but do you have stories, events, things that have happened in your life that are to you, you experience them, so, you know, you may not even realize how weird, how unusual they are. And, you know, so that's why I always poke people and say, hey, you know, you've had something, you just don't realize it because you lived it and you think your life is boring. Cause everybody, pretty much everybody thinks their life is boring because they experienced it, but other people haven't heard these stories, haven't lived this, you know, and we're all just like, wow, you know, so. That's what's so fantastic. And you've done a great job with all these and telling these stories. It's been fantastic.
You guys are doing a great service to the world by providing listening to our weird stories. I'm grateful for it. But so it wasn't until later that, you know, we got back to the hotel and I was like, oh, yeah, I should probably check my phone to see what I captured, whether I captured anything. And so I'm going through the pictures, and sure enough, I have three really excellent images of these streaks.
Wow.
That are very, very obvious in these pictures.
That's cool.
I was shocked.
Send them. You got to send them to it.
I'll send them. I'll send them.
So man.
Take a look at that.
I was going to say too, you know, like on the, you know, this light anomaly, like you don't hear a whole lot about those kind of streaks, you know, where it's like that many at a time, you know, happening.
Yeah. And you know, I'm addicted to ghost hunter shows. I'm addicted to, you know, I love that cryptozoology, you know, all the weird subjects, because it probably has a lot to do with me growing up in the house that I did.
Yeah.
I'm drawn to figure out, you know, to hear other people's stories, because I think, well, at one point another person is going to say, well, I grew up with an imaginary bear thing that I hung out with. And I would say, finally, you know, if there's anybody out there in listening that had a bear friend when they were little, I would love to talk about it. But, So, I grew up in an unusual way, but it was my entirety of my life. Mm-hmm. So, it just was what it right. was. It was so well known. The Lindley House is very well known for that.
That's fantastic. That's unique to you, those stories. You know, I've never had anything like that happen to me, you know? So yeah. Wow. It's amazing.
I've never had any
kind of ghosty kind of thing. We buried out both seen UFOs and, Jeff, he, had some Ouija experiences there.
Yeah. But,
I've not seen anything like that, anything in the supernatural aspect of Weirdsville. Haunted Hill, we're in Weirdsville. I haven't been up there yet, so.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
I really think that it is a case of being sensitive to these kinds of things, because if you go back to one of our earlier episodes, our guest Emily, she and I lived in the same apartment, and she left the apartment and this house. She left it because it was haunted and it was freaking her out. And I moved in after her and nothing.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
So is her new house haunted? That would be my question, because,
Yeah, and they got angry that they were leaving.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, she had, that's where there's a video of an orb over her babies. That's on that's on the website, and on if you can dig around on Instagram is there.
I'll go check that out. Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes I've wondered, and in the apartment where I'm at right now, there's absolutely nothing. I get no feelings of anything here. So, but sometimes, you know, I'm guessing, you know, it's one of those, it's not you, it's me things. Like sometimes it isn't the apartment. It is the person.
Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, because there's definitely people who are more sensitive and more seem to draw that kind of a thing to them, and that's not me. So,
I mean, my daughter is the same way. You know, since she was little, she saw the man. She has not seen anything like that. She's an absolute skeptic. She has not seen any sort of entity or anything she can't explain or anything like that. But we are planning a trip back to the Lindley House.
Oh, wow.
A group of us are going back.
When are you doing that?
Probably in the next couple of months.
Wow.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We gotta come.
You want to come with us?
Oh,
that'd be great. we'll set up a video link hang out live.
That'd be amazing.
Dive in and do that.
That would
be really cool.
So
that is intense. Yeah. Man.
So either way, we definitely need to get a report back when that happens.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah, I definitely will.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be fantastic.
I have mixed feelings about it. You know, the traditional way is like, well, sage yourself or take a salt shower or something like that. So this thing does not follow us back, because that is my concern. Okay. I do not want this thing to know my phone number or where I live or anything like that. I don't know. I would never sleep again if I knew this guy was fooling around in my general vicinity. Because
put the people you don't like as much in the master bedroom.
I know, dude. Just take a bunch of jerks with me. Be like, hey, you want to go on a ghost hunt?
Stick to the master bedroom.
Yeah, exactly. You go in there. I'll stand out here with the video camera and see what happens.
Oh, yeah.
But my mom did say, she brought up, I talked to her this morning when I told her I was going to do this podcast, and she brought up a good point. She was saying, you know, as she's thought about it, how odd the house felt, how clean it felt, you know, void of any of the others. And all, she said, the more I think about it, she was saying she feels very defensive about, she was saying, I hope this thing is not harming the others that are there in some way, mm-hmm. whether the other things are fearful in some manner of this thing, or whether these streaks of lights were a warning to me,
that's
whether
it's
you know, their way of saying, like, do not go farther, stop right here, because you know, this guy is coming or whatever to try to, so, you know, so I don't know, but she brought up a good
others out. So
Call
on your bear.
That was
bear
exactly
to help you out. So,
so I hope that was my mom. It was just kind of cute. My mom was like, I hope they're not, you know, this weird guy isn't harming the other entities or has scared them away or some such thing like that.
I didn't think of that until you said that. Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. But so she was saying she wants to go with a bunch of people and she wants to yell at him. This is my mom. This is my mom's plan. is to yell at this guy saying, get out.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'll let you know. I'll
go. Yeah, please do. Be very careful.
I wonder if that false security, you know, that cleanliness or the lightness of or whatever that, you know, that if that was almost like kind of like a bait situation.
Oh,
you know,
you know, it really did. I had no hesitation walking into the kitchen and it was really the master bedroom was the last room we went into. And, it didn't happen until we were both, as soon as we were both in the room going, it feels really mellow. And suddenly, I mean, it was really, it was not subtle, and it didn't feel like, you know, the kitchen entity would run up behind you. You could feel it coming.
Yeah.
And this was not like that at all. It was everything's fine. And then suddenly not fine.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And so,
Was the electricity on in the house, or do you guys have the utilities off, or?
The utilities are off, but interestingly, the water is running. Mm. I checked that.
Okay.
Wow. But yeah, no electricity at all whatsoever.
What do you plan on? I mean, I'm very curious about your investigation that you're going to do, because I mean, that seems basically what it is. What do you plan on doing? And do you have like do you know somebody that's got one of those speaker boxes? Or
I don't. I wish I did.
Yeah, you should look into that. Or I know. Like, are you going to? Or you know, the old fashioned? Are you going to break out the Ouija board? And
you know.
See her face as soon as I mentioned that. Oh, hell no.
Yeah, I don't think so.
What it was.
I don't. Like I said, I'm just shy of like figuring out how to wear a salt suit or something like that.
Right.
Like, you know, and I did hesitate because my daughter wants to go with me, you know, so it's going to be myself, my daughter, my sister, and my mom. Okay. So all family is going to be there. So it's going to be kind of interesting.
Wow.
You know, on one hand, it's going to be big bait for whatever is there to show up. But at the same time, I feel it's like some sort of a comic book superhero scenario with some all girls of a family, you know. So that's three generations of family right there. So I don't know. You know, we don't have any fancy equipment. I kind of wish I did. I would love to have one of those talk boxes or, you know, a white noise maker or something like that. Or
there's an app. I mean, and I know
there's a white noise app.
I mean, but I know there's for white noise, but I mean, one for like, you know,
like EM ghosts, fields for those,
like
you know?
Letting ghosts talk to you and stuff.
There probably is.
I don't trust the app because there's no way to know whether they just inserted voices like get out or something in the app.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Which is like, shoot, you know?
Right.
So, maybe, I don't know. I'm kind of handy. Maybe I'll try to tinker something up before we go, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, call the Ghost Adventures crew real quick or some such thing like that. So,
right. Wow.
You know, or maybe if there's any Reseda ghost hunting groups out there, if you're listening.
There you go.
Give me a call because
check Facebook.
It's a pretty good spot.
For anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, there's got to be some group, investigative group.
I'm certain.
Out there,
I'm certain.
So that'll be really interesting to see what happens with that. And just,
You guys have the scoop, though.
Awesome. Sure.
Sweet.
Hey, I had a couple more things. I don't know if we're wrapping up here or not.
I love it.
So you mentioned that the bricks came from the San Fernando mission, right? Yeah. And that was a result of a fire. Now, I don't know if everybody else knows the history of the San Fernando mission, but I have no idea. I don't know how long it was there. Was it a tragic fire? Did people die in it? I don't know. What's the story on those bricks? And one other thing that I want to throw out there, it would be really interesting to know if that other house that was very near your grandmother's house was also built of some of those free bricks from the San Fernando mission.
You know, the thought has occurred to me before. And if you look up on the episode information from, it was I don't even know, can I say it? The sure, Ghost Hunting Group? Okay, it was a Ghost Adventures episode.
Ghost Bros, love them.
Yeah, Ghost Bros, love them too. Oh man, Aaron's my man. So anyway, I don't know. That house since has burned. Ooh. That was in that episode. It has burned. And so I really, you know, to be honest, I do not know. I would love to know more about it, but and I have sort of investigated, but and it's very close. It's very close to the house. It's a few blocks away. If you look up both of the addresses, I think it's on Ingomar maybe, and the Lindley house is like, I think I gave you guys that address in the intro. I might have.
Okay.
So anyway, cool. But I don't know the history. Here's the history with the San Fernando missions. Now, there was a great many of them. There's one main mission that's kind of like the famous mission that people go like, oh, go visit the San Fernando mission. Now, when the Spanish came to the area, they built, I'm going to guess, hundreds of little mission churches that were all over the place. And so, you know, the area is very earthquake prone. And so I'm not sure about the circumstances of the fire specifically at all, because, you know, my grandma now, had I asked when she was younger, I might have been able to get the information on which mission exactly she got them from. Right. But now that she's elderly, I don't know that she, although she might, people remember weird things, but, you know, I'm not sure that she would really remember specifically. And, you know, if only I could go back in time, but by the time I figured out that could be kind of a part of it, it was too late to sort of ask. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I'm not sure about that, but you can see it on the bricks, you know, you can see they're beautifully colored and they're very old handmade bricks. They're mm-hmm. they're beautiful. They're really that's beautiful,
cool.
But
that's cool.
Also it, possibly haunted.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, to me, like as soon as you said that, for some reason that really stuck out to me. Yeah. And then, of course, when you mentioned Monk Ghost, or, you know, that just seems, yeah, this makes sense.
Yeah.
Plausible, you know,
yeah.
This makes a lot of sense. So, you know, I don't know, but, you know, and coming out of the closet and as the portal. And so I don't know. It's just.
Oh, it's so great to be able to get all this off my chest. Yeah. I'm so glad.
It's fantastic. This has been great.
Yeah, we're glad. Oh, we're glad that you reached out to us. You know,
good. Did it give anybody chills? I hope.
Oh,
I hope.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no. Several times. Several times.
Great stuff.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's really wonderful.
Thank you so much, Heather, for taking the time out to share those with us. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. It's been fun. Absolutely. You guys are great.
And we want the follow up. We want to know what happens when you go back.
Oh, definitely.
Any other outside of the house weird stories too.
Well, I do have other weird stories. I've lived a weird life.
Good. That's fantastic.
That's great. That's fantastic. We're definitely gonna have to have you back.
But. Right. Confession time. Yes, I've seen some things. Oh my goodness. But thank you again, you guys. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
very you. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you too. Yeah, I'll be back.
We will. You will be back. We will be talking again.
One other thing.
I love it. I love it. Yes, all the things you need.
Is it really a long day living in Reseda?
You know what? It is. That song is about, that is my life right there.
That's, you want to know? That is so cool. As soon as you said that, that's been going through my mind the whole conversation.
It really is.
We love
it
Tom. Is. We love Tom, yep. Petty, R.I.P.
Freeway running through the yard. Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah. Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. Yeah.
Oh, you guys are great.
That's a great way to wrap it up. Thanks again.
Thank Take you, care. Guys. Take I appreciate care. It.
And the girl, the babysitter girl, she picked up the phone and there was a policeman on the other side. And he said, "We've tracked the phone call and it's coming from inside the house."
Whoa.
Yeah, dude.
I love those urban legend stories.
Dude, I do too. And you remember the one where the girl, it's always the babysitter or it's the kids making out in Lover's Lane. But there's the one where the girl comes up and she finds the kids are watching TV and she turns them around and their face has SpaghettiOs.
Oh, man. Or the hook guy. Remember the hook guy?
Oh, the hook was hanging from the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you got a story that is similar to any of those awesome urban legends, we want to hear it. Because, you know, those urban legends, man, they started off as somebody's true life weird story. It's got to be true somewhere. You know, one of the things that I really enjoyed about that interview is how it meandered organically, but yet we still kept kind of on subject, you know. So we went over here, we talked about, you know, the bear and the children in who lost children and they're the bears in the forest that had helped them and just a great conversation, you know. And that's what we look for, you know. We hate to call it interviews. We hate to call them interviews because they're conversations. They're hanging out, you know, we're just talking. And that was just a great one. And it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And
I really want to go to that house.
Yeah, I do. I do. I kind of do. I also, Heather sent us some pictures, so we'll have those up. But yeah, you know, I mean, that was just a perfect example of, you know, what we do here and what we like doing. And when everything comes together, and it's just a lot of fun, you know, we really appreciate Heather for joining us. And hopefully after she goes and investigates again, she'll come back with some more.
Man. Yeah. Yeah. She was great. And she, again, I put her into that category of people that we didn't know that we became mm-hmm. friends immediately.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know, she's fun and she's open and really had some great stories. And, you know, the fact that people want to come on here and tell their stories like they do, it's just incredible. And, you know, I keep thinking that we've reached our sort of pinnacle when it comes to finding great guests, but like it never ends, and people are fascinating and they have such interesting tales, and hers were really out of the ordinary and really mm-hmm. fascinating. You know, again, we appreciate her coming on and telling us those stories. And, you know, probably the one that really sticks out to me in my mind is when her and her mom go back to the house mm-hmm. and the light anomalies that were happening in the house.
Yeah.
You know, that is just so freaking strange, dude. Not that everything else wasn't strange, but that in itself is strange, man, you know?
Yeah, the ones that stuck out with me are just the fact that, well, the bear... Her, I mean, you know, for me, the creepiest thing is little kids that have some kind of imaginary friend. Mm-hmm. And probably because as I mentioned in the story, I was always rejected by my imaginary friends. But, you know, I hope they're all out there having great imaginary lives here years on. But you know, I mean, just within her own story, just a great variety of stories. And, you know, that's what it really impresses me is the variety of stories that we've got and that we keep getting. And that's why we've kind of opened up the doors of the you know, of the show to, if you got a great story or some great stories to tell that aren't necessarily weird per se, you know, that maybe they're just really funny, or maybe they're a little strange, but they're not like supernatural, paranormal, anything like that, you know, we still want to hear those. And which is leads me to, I guess, a little bit for next week, when we have my buddy Jimmy on, who has about a billion great stories to share.
Yeah.
And we've got him, and we talked to him a whole afternoon, and we've whittled down for the episode just two stories that are somewhat thematic. We actually, you know, we had three stories, but we're saving one because it's a little bit much for a regular
podcast. Yeah. Yeah.
But we'll have it available in some way. But yeah, he's got some great stories coming up. And yeah, they're weird. They're a little weird, but they're just great stories. So if you got any, so if you got weird stories, we want to hear those. You got funny stories, epic, crazy adventure stories. We, you know, we just, we want to, if, as long as it's true and it happened to you or, you know, someone in your family directly, you know, we want to hear them.
Yeah.
You know, so
we do. And really what it comes down to is we just like talking to people, you know, and
it is.
We do. Yeah. We enjoy it, man. And it's fun and it gives us, you know, an outlet. And I think that people can feel that and they hear that whenever they're listening to what we do. So again, I will reiterate what you said. If you got something interesting, funny, weird, freaking call us, man. Write us. Get in touch with us.
Yeah.
Come on the podcast. Do your thing. I think you'll really enjoy it, and we'll have fun. And we'll have fun, you know.
Yeah. Cool. Well, all right. Well, hey, thanks, Heather, for joining us. Thank you, Jeff, for being a great extra interviewer. We always love it when we have Jeff on because he does have a bit of a different approach.
Yeah.
When it comes to questions that we do.
Yeah.
And the stuff that I wouldn't think of. And, you know, it's funny because you would think that all of us having the same background, we kind of have come from the same angle, but we really don't. It's always great to have Jeff on, and it's always great having great stories to hear. And it's always great having you guys listen to this and tell us how we're doing. And we really appreciate that because that keeps us motivated. You know, we just keep telling people, spreading the word about the show, and we will see you. Well, we'll hear you, or you'll hear us, or something like that. You understand the sentiment that I'm getting at, friends. We'll be back around next week with some really funny stories from our buddy Jimmy. So until then, be safe.
Be weird.
As always, if you have a weird story, we want to hear it.
If you have a lot of them, we want to hear them all.
We can't do this podcast without your invaluable contributions.
Whether it's sharing your stories,
listening,
rating,
and spreading the word about the podcast. Thanks for listening. Till next time, be safe.
Be weird.
The stories presented on the What's Your Weird Story podcast are, to our knowledge, true experiences that our guests have had. We can't take the time to research all claims made, and besides, it's just not as fun.